2 Timothy chapter number 3, and we'll look at our, really all of chapter 3 is our text for this morning, okay? But I am not going to take and read all of chapter number 3. If you would like to, and it would be a good thing to, if I had to give homework, which I don't think I've ever given homework, if I had, I don't remember it, but if I had to give homework, I would say, read chapter 3 and come back tonight, because that's we're going to finish it. Amen. but we're not going to look at verse by verse or none of that, but just chapter 3 has a lot of good things to focus on with the subject, especially that we're going to talk about this morning. Our theme this year is dealing with, of course, living by faith in 2018. This month, we've been dealing with the aspect of faith concerning answering faith. Amen. And if you'll remember back, we've been talking about the last several weeks. Matter of fact, all of this month we've been focusing on where the Bible says that we ought to be ready to give an answer to every man, amen, that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. And that's where we've been all month long on Sunday morning, is going through that verse and talking about a lot of things concerning that and being ready to give an answer by faith, the way that the Bible wants us to when others ask us questions, or even when we have an opportunity to just simply give a testimony or to answer by faith about sharing the gospel, what the Lord's done in our heart and life. We ought to be ready to give an answer for that. And we talked about that, some of those words and different things mean there. But last year, if you'll remember way back, we had in April, we had a series entitled Answers in April is what we dealt with, which is kind of similar to this year, answering faith, right? Dealing with questions and answers, if you will, and being able to give an answer. And I looked back yesterday just for a few minutes, and if you want to refresh yourself, and or you wasn't here then, if you go on the website, all those sermons from last year that we preached during the month of April are still on there. And we talked about, did God create the earth? That was one of the questions that people ask a lot of times. And we had a sermon. We talked about that. We said, did God create the earth in 6 literal days? That was another one we talked about. That's on there. We talked about, is hell real? Is it a real literal place? We talked about that. And we talked about that last year. And then I guess the one that most people had, because of course I got these questions from y'all, right? Remember that? We took up questions from y'all that you've been asked, prayed over them, and then spoke on the ones the Lord laid on my heart to speak on and to talk about from the Word of God. And then the other one that we spoke about that everybody, the most, I guess you'd say, popular question is, why do bad things happen to good people, right? And we talked about that one. And all those are on there just to remind you of that. But this morning, we're going to look at another question that we're often asked. And I don't remember, to be honest with you, because I have not had time to look and to dig, even though I know I have it somewhere, the list and everything that y'all gave to us last year of the questions, if this was on there or not. But I know we didn't deal with this question. And I know it's one that is asked a lot of times in some form, some fashion, or another when it comes to this subject this morning. And I believe this question that we're going to deal with this morning, to me personally, is the most important question that we need to know an answer to. You say, well, it's got to be dealing with salvation. It could go there, but that's not really what it's about. Because I believe there's all personally, this is a personal thing, I believe personally this is the most important question that there is this morning, what we're going to talk about. I think it's more important than the questions that we just talked about last year that were good questions. But I think this one kind of trumps, no pun intended, all the other things. Amen. And I think this is the most important one of them all concerning answering faith. And you think about, I believe it's a foundational issue. I believe it's one that's above all the other issues. We talked about foundation for a second this morning in Sunday school. And I believe this question is a foundational question, a foundational issue when we're asked this question, if you will. And can we give an answer? And are we ready to give an answer concerning it this morning? And the question is this. And I encourage you, if you take notes especially, to write this down. If you don't take notes, take a good mental note, okay, of the question. Is the Bible God's Word? Is the Bible God's Word. Now I'll say that one more time. Is the Bible God's Word? The reason why I emphasize every word in what I just said in the title this morning is because that's what, with the Lord's help, I'm going to try to stick with and focus on and deal with. Okay? Why I say that this morning is because that question is not at saying. That question is not saying, is not addressing, and is not dealing with what some people may take that to mean sometimes. I'm going to deal with exactly the question I ask you. Is the Bible God's Word? Not, is the Bible the thoughts of God? We're not dealing with that. We're not dealing with, is the Bible the ideas of God? We're not dealing with that. That's not the question, okay? We're not dealing with that. Was the Bible at some point the Word of God? But now, it's not anymore. It's something different. We're not dealing with that. Let me pose that question another way. Did the Bible used to be God's Word in the originals, but not now today? I'm not dealing with that question. But by answering the question that we are dealing with, if you want, it'll answer all those other questions. Okay? But I'm not going there this morning. I'm going to stick with the question that we're being asked, is the Bible God's Word? Because I think if we get a good answer to that question, it'll answer about the thoughts or the ideas or any of those other things I just said to you that a lot of times people ask as well. If we deal with this one, is the Bible God's Word? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll get into the Scripture this morning. Dear Lord, thank You for everything that You've done. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your Word this morning. That's truly wonderful words of life to us. Dear Lord, that we, dear Father, can read and enjoy, that we can read and will speak to our heart and minister and help us, dear Father, in the storms of life and in the good times of life, no matter what we're facing. Dear Lord, I thank You this morning for Your Word, first off. Thank You for that we have a copy of it this morning that we can take and open and read and study, dear Lord, and freely share in the country that we live in, and freely have a copy in the country we live in. What a privilege that is that a lot of people don't have, and I say thank You this morning, dear Lord. Forgive us for taking it for granted so many times, even me, dear Lord. And I pray this morning that Your Holy Spirit, as we look to at Your Word to answer some questions concerning Your Word, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would be the teacher this morning, that You would be the preacher, and that You would lead and guide through Your Scriptures this morning, that, dear Father, You might help, dear Father, if there's one here this morning that does not have that certainty deep down in their heart. Maybe there's some doubt that's there. Maybe there's some doubt that has always been there, or doubt that is there now that used to not be there. That, dear Lord, I can't do anything to change anybody's heart or mind, dear Lord, but I know You can and Your Word can. And I pray, dear Lord, this morning that You might take Your Word this morning and just do a work in our hearts and do what needs to be done. And we say thank You ahead of time for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. The question is the Bible God's Word? Is the Bible God's Word? Many take today in approaching this question, they take and they try to answer it with things that are about God's Word. They take and they try to answer this question with things that deal with, when I say things outside of God's Word, I mean like, different things that are not within the pages and the covers of what you and I have in our hands this morning. I'm not going to do that this morning. That's okay. Amen. There's necessarily nothing wrong with that. You can do that, and there is a ton of things outside of the pages of this cover that do prove that this Bible is God's Word. Amen. And all those things are good and great and good to look at and good to see and to know. But this morning, I believe that what trumps, again, even those, is the fact that to see what the Bible says within itself. Amen. I believe that's the greater proof. That's the greater way to answer that question, is to look and see what the Bible says about itself. You can look at what other things say. You can look at other thoughts and other stuff, and that's good. But I believe the Bible, is what it says about itself, is the most important thing that we could look at concerning answering any question, and this question especially. I believe this question this morning is ultimately of importance, and I'll show you why as we go through this. But look at 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 1. Again, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but just a couple of verses. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." May I say that I believe we're in the last days. Amen. I believe we're in the last times. I believe even we're in the last moments and seconds. Amen. Before the Lord comes back. He could come back at any minute. Everything's been done. Everything's been fulfilled. I believe the rapture could take place at any minute. Amen. Any minute. And I think about it might, you know, who knows when it'll happen, but I believe it'll be sooner definitely than later. And the Bible said in the last days there's going to be perilous times. It doesn't take a rocket scientist or it doesn't take anybody with much of up here. Amen. Even I can tell this, that we are living in perilous times. Amen. The word perilous, most people think of it as meaning evil or bad or wicked times, and that is true. But the word perilous has the idea of a weakening time, if you will. In other words, because of the things that are going on that are bad, that are evil, that are wicked, there is a weakening going on around us. And you take today and you look around and you see that there's a weakening going on all around. There's a weakening in our country. Amen. We're in a mess in so many ways and so many different things. There's a weakening in our homes. Amen. You look around, you see broken marriages, you see a mess everywhere you turn. There's a weakening in our churches. Amen. You see a mess and all this other stuff that we could get into this morning, and a lot of them. And you think about this morning, the devil is just, as we say, working overtime. Amen. He's definitely busy and definitely about his business. And I think today, you know, that we're definitely in perilous times, and if we read all these verses, and I encourage you to read them later on, you'll see if you look through these things and read them very closely and carefully that we definitely are in these times, and there's things that it talks about here that you'll see in those times. But skip down to verse number 13 with that in mind, the way the chapter started. Skip down to verse 13. Verse 12, Paul talks about those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In verse 13 he says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." And don't we see that today? "Deceiving," and I thought this was interesting, "and what? Being deceived." In other words, the deceivers, what has happened to them in their lives? Why do they tell these lies they do? Why do they tell these things that's not true the way they do? Why? Because they've been deceived. Amen? That's simple. That's simple, plain English any of us can understand. Amen? That's not deep at all whatsoever right there. That, you know, they deceive, they're getting worse and worse. Why? Because they've been deceived. And you think about it, it's just a trickle down, we might say, effect to a point. And notice verse number 14, it says, "But." Paul says to the young Timothy here, he says, "But this is what you need to do. Despite the days and times that you live in, despite what everybody else is doing and how wicked and evil things are and how many deceivers there are out there," he says, "this is what you need to do. Continue," and I mark that word continue in my Bible, "thou in the things," which that in the things. He wants him to continue in some things, to keep on with some things, "which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." I thought this was interesting because we know Timothy was Paul's associate pastor, his understudy, his helper, whatever word you want to use this morning, that Timothy was to Paul. And he was a young preacher. And he told him, he said, "I want you to continue in the things that you've learned and that you've been assured of. The things that you've been assured of in your heart, that you've been taught, that you know are that is the truth." He said, "Don't go being deceived and being a deceiver, but continue in those things." That's what you need to do. That's my advice to you. Keep doing what you've been doing. Amen. Keep on keeping on. He says, "Don't go the other direction that these are. Despite the times you live in, you keep on. You follow with the things you know and that you've been assured of in your heart." And I like this last phrase was interesting. He said, "knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Because I ask myself a lot of questions a lot of times when I read the Bible, I think it's good to do. Who did he learn them from? Well, I think Paul, no doubt, right? He's the one who had taught him these things. He's the one who instructed him these things. And I believe in another place of the Bible, and I didn't look it up, but I'm going by remembrance, that he talked about his mother, Lois and Eunice. Amen. One was his mother and one was his grandmother. I can't remember which was which at this point. But they had instructed him, no doubt, in these same things. Amen. His mom and his grandmom. And I think about the fact that here he had been taught these things. He had learned these things, been assured of them. He said, you just keep on going with the things that you've been doing. Notice verse 15, though. He says, and that from a what? Child. There it goes back to his mama and his grandma, Lois and Eunice, that I mentioned to you, right? He says, from a child you've known these things. Before I even come around in your life, you knew these things were right. And that from a child thou hast known what? The Holy Scriptures. He had been raised around the Word of God. He knew the things of God. He knew what the Scriptures said. He said, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures from the time that you was a little kid, which is when we need to start teaching kids the Bible. Amen. Which are able to make thee wise. The Holy Scriptures, these things that you've learned, that you've been taught, they're able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, because he had been taught the Scriptures, he knew what they said from an early age, guess what? Those things had helped to make him wise to know how to be saved. Amen? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say, that's the same thing today. That's why it's important to teach kids, especially the Bible and the things of the Lord. Amen? Have them in church and under the sound of God's Word, and for family members to do their part like his mother, his grandmother did. Amen? And to take and you think about here that he might come to the knowledge and be saved, amen, and follow the Lord by faith, as he said, verse 15. But notice verse 16, our kind of text, if you will, for this morning. He said, all Scripture, and I took and marked that word all in my Bible, and I encourage you to mark it as well. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, there's a lot of things we could get into in these two verses that are real good, verse 16 and 17. But I just want to focus on one phrase real quickly for our first point this morning. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every bit of the Bible. The word all means everything. Amen. We don't have to spend a lot of time on that this morning. We can move on. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, firstly this morning, how do we know when somebody asks us, is the Bible God's Word? They may not ask us exactly that way, but it's some form or some fashion of that. People will ask you, and people probably have asked you. Or maybe they don't ask the question. I meant to say this in the beginning of the message this morning. Maybe they don't come up to you and say, hey, Neil, is the Bible God's Word? Do you believe that? Instead, they might say something like this. That Bible, I don't believe it's God's Word. They might not necessarily ask you a question, or that Bible is just a bunch of old stories. They might say things like that, and really there is the issue that we're dealing with this morning. Is the Bible God's Word? So we think about it in a question, but there's lots of ways that this is important this morning that it's dealing with. I'm going to deal with a lot of things. It said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. May I say this morning, first off, this is a clear statement of fact. There's no if, there's no and, there's no but, there's no maybe, there's no until this happens, that then it'll end. It doesn't say anything. There's no expiration date, if you will, on anything that's said here. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's it. Amen. And then he goes into talking about the things that it does in our hearts and lives. And we're not going to go into all that this morning. We talked about those in the past, and I'm sure talk about them again in the future. But he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. A statement of fact, a doctrinal truth, we might say, that the Bible says about itself. Amen. I didn't say it, although I am. But God's Word says that. Amen? God's Word states that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And to deny that is to simply, and I'm not being mean, but I'm just telling you what it says here, that to deny that is to simply do what? Deny what the Bible says. In other words, if you deny that, then you are denying the Bible. I didn't say all the Bible, although I could say that probably if I wanted to go that far. But I'm just going to say to deny that is to deny the Bible. To deny what the Bible says about itself. Amen? And you're saying, no Bible, that's not right. No Bible, that's wrong. I don't believe what you're saying to me. That's dangerous ground when you take and you say to God's Word, I don't believe what you're saying to me. That's not right. That's the only way you can get around this, is because the Bible clearly says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every single bit of it. There's no if, and, but, or expiration date on it. Everything is given by inspiration of God. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, then I ask you this question. Does that mean that every book in the Bible is inspired? Yes. Amen. I only got a couple of the yeses, but okay, does that mean that every chapter is inspired?
Yes.
Amen. Does that mean that every verse is inspired?
Yes.
Now y'all know where I'm going. Does that mean that every word then is inspired? Because the words make up, let's see if I can do this, the words make up the verses make up the chapters make up the books, and the books make up the Bible. Amen. Don't ask me to say that again. Listen back when we put it on the internet. You get where I'm going? If all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, then guess what? All of that has to be inspired. Everything I just told you. In other words, from the front cover to the back cover is inspired by God. Every bit of it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. To deny that is to deny what the Bible says about itself and to deny the Bible. But you say, okay, what's the word inspired mean? You're trying to dodge that this morning, ain't you, Pastor? Because what does the word inspired mean? When a person says inspired today, what does the word inspired mean? Y'all go ahead, tell me. Okay, good. Motivated by somebody else. Anybody else got a thought? What's the word inspired mean when you hear somebody say it today? That's all y'all got? Okay, amen.
Have a feeling about something.
Motivated by somebody else. You got a feeling, amen?
Inspired by something.
Inspired by something. That's good. Yep. An event maybe or something like that. I was very surprised. I had all intention when I did this to do like I've done with some other things. I took out and Googled, that's my dictionary, amen, because there's bunches of dictionaries on the Google. Why you need a dictionary when you got a Google? But anyway, no, I'm just joking. But I took and I Googled the word inspiration or inspired just to see what it would say. And I had all intentions. I'll admit, I went into it with a critical thinking. Thinking I'm going to look at this and I'm going to say, well, that's what we mean today, but that ain't what the Bible means. But I found something really interesting. And if y'all want to do it and you got Google, do it when you get home. It might be interesting to you. Type in, what does the word inspiration or inspired, one of those two, what does it mean? And when I typed it in, and what it pulled up in that big square box it has before you click on anything else that goes to all these other dictionaries, this is what popped up for me. And I think you'll get something similar. I can't remember if I did inspiration or inspired. I'm thinking I did inspired, okay? But when I did that word, the word inspired, it meant this. The action or power of moving the intellect or emotions, which is basically what y'all see it. Amen. The action or power of moving the intellect or emotions. That was number one. But right underneath it in that big box number two, it had this. And this I thought was very interesting. It said, of the air or another substance that is breathed in. I said, Google got it right for once. Of the air, I'm going to read it again, or another substance that is breathed in. That's what Google gave as the second part of the definition for this word that we say inspired. In other words, some circumstance, some situation, some person is what we all just talked about has inspired somebody. They have breathed on them, or they have experienced what has went on and taken place, and because of that, they've been inspired to write a book or to do whatever. Amen? You think about this morning that truth, and you think about that's interesting. Because when you take and you look up the Bible word, that we're looking at this morning, actually it's not a word in our Bible, it's a phrase. And I want to point this out because I believe this is important for us, and I usually don't talk about much of this, but because I don't know a lot about it myself. I'm not no expert, but this was really interesting. It said, all Scripture, our verse says, and notice this, is given by inspiration of God. The reason why I point that out is because the phrase is given by inspiration of God. Those six words. All of that is one word in the Greek. Now it comes out as is given by inspiration of God in our language. But originally that all was one word. One single word. And it's a big word. And I'm going to try to pronounce it and I think I'll get close to it. Theopneustos. In other words, the meaning God, theology. Neustos meaning God breathed. That's what, when we see this here, this inspiration, it literally means this, that God breathed. That's what that word means. This whole phrase that we have in our Bible is given by inspiration of God simply means that God gave us all the Scripture by His breath. That's how we got it. All the Scripture was breathed by God, was given to us by His breath, just like the Google Dictionary said that the word inspiration meant what? Of the air or another substance that is breathed in. May I say today that, folks, God, this Bible that you and I hold in our hand today, all the Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every bit of it has been breathed by God to us today. All of it, as the Bible says. Every book, every chapter, every verse, every word, all of it has been God-breathed this morning. And that's why today when you think about a person, ask, is the Bible God's Word? Yes, it is, because God breathed it. Amen? It's inspired by God. He's the one that inspired it. He's the one that breathed it. He's the one that did it. God did. Yes, God took and He... That's why the Bible is not just a mere book this morning. Amen? It's not a human stories about humans that they faced in their life. Although it does tell us about things that people did face in their lives. Amen? And these were real things that happened in their lives. It's not a collection of things that different men decided that were good people that, hey, I'm going to write down these things because I want people to know them later on. That's not what the Bible was. That's not what the Bible says that it is. Instead, the Bible is God-breathed. It's God-inspired. And it's given and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, the things that's in God's Word are God-breathed, and they're there to help us, amen, to know how to be saved, as Paul told Timothy, as before, right before this verse, that he might have salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might know to keep on keeping on, and what to do, and what to be assured of in our lives. How do we know all these things? How is he to know all these things? Because all the Scripture that he had been taught and showed and everything that was within God's Word was God's Word. Amen? That's why he could do the things that he could do and he could be assured of them and he needed to keep on. There was many being deceived. There was many deceivers around him. But he said, hey, all Scripture is inspired of God. This is what it does in your life. Stick with it. Amen? This is what God's Word is. It's the Bible. It's not just a book that teaches mere history or experiences, but instead it is more. It is all inspired of God or breathed by God upon men, and men simply took and penned and wrote down what God breathed and told them to write down. You see today, folks, that's why, first off, is the Bible God's Word? Yes, it is, because number one, all in Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture is given by God, to use the exact words of the verse. All Scripture is given by God. But the second reason this morning that the Bible's God's Word is because the Bible, and I tried to keep with A's, okay? So this is not a word I normally use. But all Scripture is ascribed as the Word of God. In other words, is the Bible God's Word? Yes, it is, because it is ascribed to be the Word of God throughout it. In other words, as you read through the words and the things that's in the Bible, it proclaims, it ascribes itself, it says, yes, I am God's Word.